about a guy named Nicodemus. Kids, say Nicodemus. Say Nicodemus. That's a hard name. Just say Nick. Nick, okay? We'll just call him Nick. So here he is, Nicodemus, meets up with Jesus in John chapter 3, and we'll look at that story. It says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, all right, who was a Pharisee. Say Pharisee. Pharisee. Hey, you got it on the screen. Let's just read from the screen together, okay? Verse 2. After dark, one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. You are miraculous signs and wonders. Now let's stop right there. The word rabbi, kids, means teacher. That's just another word for teacher. So rabbi means teacher. All right, verse 3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So he says, you've got to be born a second time. And notice what Nicodemus says in verse 4 and 5. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Verse 5. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water. Let's just stop right there. The kingdom of God is more than heaven. It's the dominion of the dominion of the king that's on earth. So how can I experience abundant life on earth and eternal life in heaven? How can I enter into that kingdom? And notice what he says. There is a physical birth, being born of water. Let's talk about the physical birth and being born of the Spirit. All right, verse 6. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of God. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Verse 10. You are a respected Jewish teacher. Okay, let's stop right there. In some of yours it says you are Israel's teacher. In other words, he had a very high place of teaching. Now to verse 16, the verse I think we're all familiar with, John 3:16. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So he talks to him about, Nicodemus, if you want to experience abundant life here on earth and eternal life in heaven, if you want to get to heaven from Lake Jackson here today, here's some things you got to do. Now, there's two things you got to keep in mind. The first one is this. If you want to get to heaven from Lake Jackson, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. Say that with me. It's not about religion, it's about a relationship. Turn somebody and tell them that right now, okay? Amen. That's good. You see, because he had a religion, right? I mean, it says he was a Pharisee. What's a Pharisee? A Pharisee, that was a religious group of Jews, that they were the most dedicated people. Look, Pharisees believed the Bible more than anybody, okay? They fasted twice a week. They prayed three times a day. They gave a tithe, and then they gave above the tithe, they gave to the temple. I mean, I don't know how many people in this church do that. Probably not many, but these people, what I'm saying is they were absolutely dedicated to their faith. These were guys that were very conservative. In other words, they believed the Bible and they believed exactly what it said in the Old Testament. It says that he was part of the religious council there, a religious leader. Some of your translations in verse 1 say religious council. There were 70 men that were chosen to be the religious leaders over all the Pharisees. He was one of the guys. So So you just see who he is? I mean, this guy is well educated. He's a great leader. He knows a lot of religion. And yet Jesus looks at him and he says, I don't care. You got to be born again. Today, in our vernacular, it's almost like he's saying, see, the Pharisees were the most populous of the Jewish groups. It's almost like he's saying to Baptists, to a Baptist pastor with a degree, does that mix or match anybody in this room? Yeah, me, yeah, who really believes the Bible. It's like he's saying to me, Scott, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you know. You don't have a relationship. It's not about religion, it's about a relationship. You must be born again. See, religion will not get you into heaven. Religion can be a good thing, it's just the outward practice of your faith. But religion, your outward practice, will never get you into a relationship with God. That is all in the heart. There is a physical birth there, there has to be a spiritual birth within your heart. Now, let me just pick on somebody here. Let's see. Let me get somebody here. I'm always picking on you. I'm not going to pick on you today, okay? Okay, I'll pick on you. All right. Because I never know what... You're the wild card, brother. You're the wild card. Okay. Okay, so you got Raymond Wells. Now, Raymond, do you and Terry... You can go ahead and stand up. Do you and Terry, do y'all have family reunions with her family, your family? They've fallen off. They've gotten so big, they've fallen off. Okay, all right. So they used to. They used to have these. Where would y'all go for these family reunions?
Galveston Beach.
Okay, all right. So they're having, is it her side or your side?
Definitely her side.
She is Weber. Taylor. Taylor. Okay. So Taylor. So it's the Taylor family reunion there at the Galvez in Galveston. All right, so I'm driving around Galveston, and we're going into the Galvez. Maybe Stephanie and I are going to spend the night there. And I see, and let's just pretend we don't know each other. I don't know Raymond. So, but what I see is I see all this group of people, and they're talking, and they're having a great time, and eating and drinking, and it just looks like a lot of fun. They're carrying on, and I walk up to them, and I say, hello, my name is Scott.
Raymond.
Hey, Raymond. What's going on here, Raymond? And so you,
my wife's side of the family having a reunion.
Okay, wife's side of the family having a reunion. Well, that's great. Can me and my wife come to y'all's reunion, your family reunion? No, you'd say no. No. Okay. That's what I was supposed to say, no, I'm sorry.
You have to ask one of the Taylors.
Okay, I have to ask one of the Taylors. But he would be real hesitant, right? He would. Now, some of you goofy people would say, sure, come on, let's just, you know, whatever. But, you know, most people are going to say, well, you know, it's really just for the Taylors, you know, that kind of thing. So I said, okay, I understand. Stand up, keep standing. So I come up with this ingenious plan, okay? All right, and so I come back,
and I got my name tag on.
I'm Scott Taylor. Hey, Raymond, Scott Taylor here.
Hey, Scott, I haven't met you before.
Well, I'm one of the Taylors. Can I come to your reunion?
Sure. How are you related?
Well, I'm not really related, but I got a name tag that says I'm a Taylor.
Not the same.
It's not the same, right? It is the same. It is. You can sit down. Thanks, Raymond. It's not the same. It's not because I changed the outer, right? You know, Taylor, from McKay to Taylor. I did that, but it didn't change anything where? Didn't change anything on the inside. I'm still a McKay. I'm still not welcome to the reunion. And so that's what religion does. Religion can be a good thing, but religion doesn't give you a relationship with God. That has to happen through an internal change. So it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. Say that with me. It's not about religion, it's about a relationship. The second thing that we see in this story is this. It's not about knowledge, but experience. Say that with me. It's not about knowledge. And so the reason I say that is because if you look at verse 2, it says, when Nicodemus came to him, he said to Jesus, we all know that God sent you to teach us. So he knew who Jesus was. That he wasn't just some character that came out of the wilderness, but that literally God sent him. And he says, look, I even know about your signs and wonders. It's evident that God is with you. See, he knew these things about Jesus. You're a teacher. You're from God. You do miraculous signs. And what does Jesus say to him? In verse 3, good, you must be born again. He didn't say, oh, I'm so glad you got it right. He said, you must be born again. Just because you know the right things doesn't mean you're in right relationship with me. It's not about knowledge. It's about an experience. You know the facts, and there are many of you that know the facts. You know the facts that you're a sinner. You know what a sinner is? Kids, you don't know what a sinner is? You're a sinner. You're a bad, bad, bad sinner. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You know what a sinner is? A sinner is just somebody who does wrong. Have you ever done anything wrong? Yeah. Have you ever said some stuff you shouldn't have said? Oh, Terry, you're lying. You are lying. And see, you're sinning here in church. Here we go. So, look, we've all done things that we shouldn't have done. We've all said things. Have you ever said things you shouldn't have said? Yeah. Have you acted in ways you shouldn't have acted? Yeah. Have you ever thought things you shouldn't have thought? Can't shake your head like this. Now, look at all them over there. Now, all of y'all shake your head that you've done the same things, okay? Everybody here is a sinner. A sinner is just people who do wrong. And you can know that. You can know that Jesus came to die for your sins. You can know that he rose from the dead and that he lived a sinless life and now is offering us victory through faith in him. You can know all of those facts. You can know the facts. Look, you know the facts that smoking is going to kill you. Drinking can take your life out. Drugs are bad for you. Here's what I know about facts. I know two things about facts. Number one, they're facts. Number two, they don't change anything. Facts don't change you. It's the application of those facts that change you. It's not about knowledge. It's about experience. It's about applying those facts to your life. Listen, kids, I want you to know this. There's somebody here. It's not here, absolutely not, but he lives on this planet. He knows more about God, more about Jesus, more about the Holy Spirit, more about the Bible than anybody else in this room. And he's not going to heaven. Do y'all know who that is? It's the devil. The devil knows more about God, Jesus, the Bible, the Holy Spirit than anybody else in this room, but he is not going to heaven because it's not about an experience or about knowledge. It's about an experience. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. You can know a lot about things and it not change you. You can know a lot about things and feel like you know it and it not change you. Let me say that again. You can know a lot about things and feel like it's touching you, but it really not change your life. Let me give you a perfect example of that. My son, Nathaniel, raise your hand, Nathaniel. Sitting over there. In fact, stand up because of what I'm about to say, I'll give him great credit for. Okay. Nathaniel is going back to Texas State University sometime this week, okay? So he completed his freshman year. He's going back for his sophomore year. While he was in school there his freshman year, he said, Dad, you have to try a Mansky roll. Right? Tell me, son, what did you say to me?
Said you gotta try it.
You gotta try it. Is that how you said it? Now, how did you say it? You got to try a Mansky roll. It's just that he was dogmatic about me trying a Mansky roll. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have had a Mansky roll from San Marcos? Okay, you guys know what I'm talking about. Anybody else?
You have to try.
Yeah, say it. Yeah. You got to try a
Mansky roll.
There you do. And so you sit down, Nathaniel. So Nathaniel's telling me this, and he says, Dad, it is really, really good. And I was like, okay, yeah. It's like a Cinnabon, okay? But just better. It's okay. But to put it in a context, that's what it's like, okay? It's like a Cinnabon. And so Anyway, and so there's all these articles have been written about it. It's like top 10 cinnamon rolls in Texas. Texas Country Reporter has done a report on it. San Antonio Express has done, you know, articles on it. So, I mean, it's really got a reputation, and pretty good reputation. So he's telling me about all this thing, and I'm taking him home in May to bring him home here for the end of the semester. And he said, "Dad, when you pick me up, we're going to go get a Mansky roll." Okay, I'm good with that. So we go, and I got a Mansky roll. And they are phenomenal. I knew all about Mansky rolls because of what he said. You know what he told me? I thought, yeah, I know about the Mansky roll, but now I know about the Mansky roll. I'm telling you, it is worth the 10 minutes to get off I-35, go into San Marcos, and get that Mansky roll. It is one of those rolls, it's one of those meals that when you finish eating it, you just want to take what's left over and just rub it all over your face. Just go, oh, man. I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. Man. Right? It is. It is that good. Fantastic. So look, you can have the knowledge about something. I had the knowledge about it, but I didn't have the experience of it, right? I had the experience when I actually partook of it. And so it is in a relationship with God. You can know all about Jesus, but you have to partake. You have to have faith. You have to engage it. It has to become something that is personal with you. So what is it? What do you have to do to be born again? It's not about knowledge. It's not about religion. What is it? It is about a total commitment to Jesus. Say that with me. A total commitment to Jesus is what it is. And so in verses 5 and 6, he says, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." And then he explains this in verse 16, "For God so loved the world." Say that with me. "For God so loved." And isn't that good news? Woo, that's good news. Here we are, we're sinners separated from God. We deserve hell, and that is exactly, kids, that's exactly where we're going if we don't have Jesus. We're going to hell. Eternal separation from God. That's what the Bible teaches. But for God so what? Loved. I mean, for God so was disappointed with the world. So God was so angry with the world. God was so upset and mad at the world. No, God so loved the world. And because of the world, he sent Jesus. God loves us. But we have the problem, and the problem is sin. And I think everybody in this room understands sin. What does Romans 6:23 say? If you know it, say it with me. "For the wages of sin is what?" Say it again. "For the wages of sin is..." You know, you get paid a wage. You earn something when you work. And it's whatever, you know, the minimum wage is or whatever it is. You get paid a wage. But you also get paid a wage for sin, and that's death. Separation from God. Separation from those that you love for eternity in hell. That's the punishment. But for God so loved the world. He didn't want that to happen. Aren't you glad for that? Sin, God He gives us the Bible, He gives us our conscience, He gives us the Holy Spirit to convict us, to say something's wrong, you need to stop, you need to turn around, you need to get help. Jesus is available for you. It reminds me of the terrible Chernobyl nuclear disaster that happened in the mid-80s. Many of you remember that. It was at the time, up until the Fukushima nuclear disaster, it was the worst nuclear disaster in the world. We're still feeling ramifications of it today. That was in 1986. You know what happened with Chernobyl, this disaster, is that they were running tests on it. They were running tests to see some specific things, how the reactor would respond at a very low level. And so in order to do those tests, there were six kind of fail-safe measures that they had to bypass. In other words, when they say, okay, we're going to bypass this safety measure, this alarm would ring and say, stop, you know, don't go any further, alert, 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 warning, warning, warning. But they said, no, we're going to do this test. They went to six different levels. Six times those alarms went off and said, don't go any further, don't go any further. They said, no, we're doing this test. We'll be fine. They got down to the sixth level, and then disaster struck. You know, that's what the Bible does when it tells us about sin. God, it's God's way of saying, alert, alert, alert. You're a sinner. You're separated from me. You don't know God. You may know about God, but you don't have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. The Bible is God's warning system many times to us to alert us to our true condition. But it doesn't end there. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. Say that with me. That He sent His one and only Son. You see, because God took care of our sin problem, that which separates us from Him. God doesn't want us separated from Him. So He says, okay, I'm going to take care of your sin problem. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. The way sin is forgiven is that something or someone has to die. Kids, I think y'all understand this. Like, if you were doing something wrong, or actually your brother or sister was doing something bad to you, hurting you, and they deserve to be punished, how many of you would say to your parent, oh, don't punish him, punish me? I know, Mom, they were beating up on me, but I want to take their place. Go ahead and just punish me instead. No kid, I don't care. Nobody would ever do that, okay? Nobody would do that. But that's what Jesus did for us. We're the ones who sinned. We're the ones who did wrong. We're the ones who needed punishment. We're the ones who deserved hell. But Jesus said, I'll take your place. For Christ, Jesus died for sinners. 1 Peter says, for Jesus died for sinners, the righteous, that is the one without sin, for the unrighteous, for those that have sin, in order to bring us to God. Jesus took our place. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen on that. That whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to think about how Jesus is the one who took our place and the one that we put our trust in for eternal life. I told this story years ago. It's a true story. It happened at Texas Tech. Where are the Red Raiders over here? I know we have Glenn and, yeah. You're it. There you go. So we have this Texas Tech Red Raider. So this happened in a logic class there at the university. True story. And it was the final exam. It was very, very hard. It was for first-year students. And the professor said, okay, here's what I'm going to do for you. I am going to allow you to bring in a sheet of paper, an 8.5 and 11 sheet of paper, and you can fill it in with as much information as you want to help you take that final exam. The student said, okay, great, because it was going to be hard. So the day of final exam came, and all the students came in with their paper filled up except for one guy. And this one guy had a blank sheet of paper. Everybody's looking at him thinking, boy, you're dumb that you even brought in a piece of paper. Makes us, you know, question your intelligence, you know. So he puts the piece of paper down by his desk, and in walks a senior student in the study of logic. And he steps on the paper. And so as the freshman student is taking his test, this advanced logic student would be there to answer any questions he had. And sure enough, during the test, he said, what does this mean? And his senior would whisper in his ear, it means blah, 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 blah. That freshman student was the only one to make an A. Because the smart guy stood in his place right here. And friend, in a very similar way, it's exactly what Jesus did for us. Man, we are going to fail the test. Amen? We're going to fail the test. We need Him to stand in the place for us. And He says in here, Jesus says that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. What's that belief? That is a complete trust, a complete faith. It's the Mansky roll illustration. It's, man, you've got to put your faith, your trust in Jesus. It can't just be in your head. You can know that you're a sinner and you know what He did for you, but you got to believe in your heart. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You got to believe in your heart. It reminds me of the story, true story of a scientist. In fact, I don't think he was a scientist. He was just a researcher and just kind of one of these homemade research kind of guys. And he came up for a medicine to take away a particular type of stomach ulcer. And of course, since he wasn't a doctor with a degree, they said, baloney. What you've come up with is fakery. It won't work. He said, I'm telling you, I have come up with the formula to take care of this particular type of ulcer. And this was on 2020 News Magazine a number of years ago. And so the doctor, the community, the doctor's community said, no, we don't believe you. He said, I will show you. And so he took a vial of that stomach ulcer virus, a vial of it, drank it down. And within a day or two, he is just retching in pain because the ulcers are now beginning to eat away at his stomach. He said, but I'll prove to you my formula works. And so then he took that medication, and within a day or two, all the symptoms were gone and he was healed. See, let me tell you something about that guy. He didn't just believe in his head that his formula would work. He believed in his stomach. He believed in his heart. He put his complete trust in that formula and it worked. And that's what you have to do with Jesus. Not just in your head, but in your heart. I'd like for, if you would, to go ahead and bow your heads in prayer. How do you get to heaven from Lake Jackson? What do you need to do? Well, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? That you're saying, Jesus, you're my boss. You're my boss. If we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. That believe in our heart means I'm putting my complete trust in Jesus. And if that's something today, maybe you've been thinking about, maybe today as I've spoken, you realize, you know what, I've never done that. I have religion, I have knowledge, but I don't have real faith. But you want to. And you sense the Holy Spirit has convicted you of sin and you understand you're separated from God and you need Jesus. If you say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I'm not certain where I would spend eternity. But today I want to get that right. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart that I pray out loud. And a prayer that won't mean anything unless you mean it with all of your heart. And I want to give you this one warning. Don't you pray this prayer unless you mean business with Jesus. Unless you're willing to make Him your boss. And that is, you're just simply turning everything you know to turn over to Him. Saying, I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. You pray this in your heart as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm separated from You. I know there's nothing that I can do to take away my sins. I thank You for taking my place on the cross, for standing on that kind of on that piece of paper for me, for dying on the cross for me, for taking away my sins, and proving it by being raised from the dead. Thank You for forgiving my sins. Thank You for accepting me. Today, I crown You, I make You my boss, and I put my complete trust in You, and I pray this in Your name. I want you to keep your heads bowed, and maybe if this is the first time that you ever prayed that prayer, and you meant it, you say, Pastor, I really meant it. I prayed that prayer, and I trusted in Jesus Christ today. If that's the first time you have done that, would you raise your hand? I want to see your hand. Are there anybody over here? Amen. That's good. Anybody else? Till I see your hand. Amen. All right. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you, if you're a child, I want you to tell your parent. And parent, you tell Miss April or myself because we want to follow up with that child. If you're an adult or teenager and you prayed that prayer, I want you to take the blue card that's in front of you, put your name and a contact number, and there on one of the blocks it says something about having a relationship with Jesus. Just check that. We want to follow up with you. The Christian life is personal, but it's not private. In other words, yes, it's in the heart, but it's to be expressed outwardly. Jesus demonstrated to you His commitment to you by dying on the cross. You demonstrate your commitment to Him by telling others. And let that begin by filling out that blue card, putting it in an offering plate, and let us follow up with you. Father, we do thank You for Your immense love for us, and we thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die for us and to show us how to have eternal life. And I pray that everybody here today would walk out having that assurance within their heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,